This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
This is John Philip Sousa, and I'm very glad to be here with my band representing my own country, America. I've been asked to begin with a march that is an old favorite of mine. Maybe you will recognize it.
The March King was born 150 years ago today. John Philip Sousa, the composer and bandleader who once said, "A march should make a man with a wooden leg want to step out." We've just been listening to a 1929 recording of Stars and Stripes Forever. But the man who also wrote the Washington Post March and Semper Fidelis, which became the official anthem of the Marine Corps, also composed a waltz, oratorios, and songs for musical theater. Fred Child is host of NPR's classical music program, Performance Today, and joins us now. Fred, thanks very much for being with us.
Glad to be here, Scott.
And I'm always glad to be with you, but I have to tell you, I feel a little hornswoggled. I thought we were going to talk about Sammy Sosa. There's no relation?
The right fielder of the Chicago Cubs is famous for his marches, isn't he?
Well, he took far too few home run marches this past year, but you raise a sore subject. John Philip Sousa, how remarkable that he should grow up within sight of the Capitol Dome in Washington, D.C., and his father was a Marine Corps musician.
Yeah, this most American of musicians grew up in the American Capitol, blocks away from the Marine Corps barracks. But when he was 13, he almost joined the circus. When he was 13 years old, he was practicing his violin in his Washington, D.C. home, and a band leader from a traveling circus happened to be strolling by and heard him, knocked on the door, came in, and offered the young John Philip Sousa a job and encouraged him to leave home. Well, his dad got wind of this, and John Philip Sousa was marched down to the Marine Corps barracks two blocks away and made an apprentice in the Marine Corps band, and he was there for 8 years.
How did he begin writing music?
You know, it's something that I think came naturally to him. He studied so many different instruments. Mm-hmm. He also was a conductor as a young man. So I think it was just a natural step for him to try his hand at writing music. Although, it was a while before he got to writing marches. Actually, the first thing he wrote was a set of waltzes for piano.
Let's now play 18-year-old John Philip Sousa's composition of Moonlight on the Potomac Waltzes. As waltzes go, let me defer to your superior ear.
Well, it's lovely. I mean, it's something that might get an 18-year-old a scholarship to go to school. After he finished his time as an apprentice with the U.S. Marine Band when he was 21 years old, he went on to be a professional conductor, lived and worked in Philadelphia, and even tried his hand writing musical theater. In fact, he kind of had the idea that he was going to be the American Gilbert and Sullivan. And as it happens, he wrote a lot more songs than marches in his lifetime. 300 songs, only about 135 marches. So he really wanted to be a songwriter.
We have an example of his song, You Can't Tell How Old They Are, from a 1920s musical.
Woe is me, woe is me, sadly he asserts. You cannot tell how old they are by looking at their skirts.
It's not awful,
yeah.
But it's not that clever. It's not that musically interesting. So in a way, it's surprising that the guy who struggled so mightily to be a songwriter, to write musical theater, and with only moderate success at best, turned out to be such a brilliant composer of marches.
I'd like to listen to a little of the Washington Post March. Did he ever write a Wall Street Journal march?
Not that I'm aware of. Although when he wrote this, the Washington Post was one of the struggling newspapers in town, and it became so popular that, there's a little dance that goes along with it, a two-step. And for a while, every two-step was called a Washington Post.
Oh, so it was named after the newspaper.
It was.
What made his marches distinctive? Why do we still listen to them today?
part of the reason is the melodies are so instantly memorable. You hear them once, and you can sing them right away. Are you a Monty Python fan, by any chance? Exactly so. That's the Liberty Bell March. And you can sing that melody because it's just so memorable. It gets in your head the first time you hear it. And they have this buoyant American optimism and pervasive patriotism, too.
How big was John Philip Sousa?
John Philip Sousa was the rock star of his time. He was from the 1890s until the 1930s. He was not only well-known as a composer, but he was well-known as a showman, and he became the biggest musical personality in the country up until the big band era.
We want to go out with a recording that the late Vladimir Horowitz made, his own arrangement of The Stars and Stripes Forever. Was Mr. Horowitz also using his feet? I mean, there's an extraordinary range in there.
Yeah, it sounds like. He's got more than 10 fingers at work there. And he put it together in a way that everything is there. The tuba part is there. Even the piccolo part is there later on. When Horowitz was playing concerts in America, it got to the point where this was so popular, people literally wouldn't leave the building until he played this. And it was sort of like one showman tipping his cap to another.
Fred, thanks very much.
You're welcome, Scott.
Fred Child is the host of NPR's Performance Today. For more on and of the music of John Philip Sousa, you can come to our website, npr.org.